there. My name's Dave Starbuck, and welcome to another presentation from Revelation Tapes. Before beginning this talk proper, I would like to ask the listener a hypothetical question. Suppose you've been banking with your own particular bank, say, for 20 years, and you had what you felt was good service and so forth, and then suddenly you discovered that you've been cheated continually. Well, my guess is that, to put it mildly, you wouldn't feel very happy. I don't know how many of my listeners are familiar with Charles Dickens' work, but in one of his novels, David Copperfield, there is a character called Uriah Heep, who worked for, I believe, as a solicitor, Mr. Wickfield. And Uriah Heep was always saying what a humble man he was, and all the time he was cheating Mr. Wickfield out of thousands of pounds. Well, some of the people or institutions we're going to talk about presently would make Uriah Heep look like a pickpocket. Generally speaking, the layman doesn't understand much about money and the workings of the financial industry. And my whistleblower guest on this presentation is an accountant by the name of James Stewart. So, without further ado, we'll go to Mr. Stewart and hear what he has to say.
Right, good afternoon, James, and welcome to Revelation Tapes and agreeing to this interview. Now, before we get down to the nitty-gritty on this talk, I wonder if you'd be kind enough to tell the listener a little bit about yourself, a bit about your background and so forth.
Yeah, no problem. My name is James Stewart. I'm originally Scottish. I now live in Blackpool. I'm actually included in the Who's Who of British Business Excellence 2003. That was based purely on company growth figures. I'm an accountant by profession, and I was the managing director of Eurocard Direct until November 02. And I'm currently the managing director of Remortgage Now. And I'm also the founder of an organisation, a benevolent organisation called Financial Outrage. And as such, I'm now a financial services industry whistleblower. And also, just in the last few days, Financial Outrage has become an official member of the Make Poverty History Coalition, and I've applied to join the media group to try and get these financial services frauds exposed.
That's quite an impressive track record. Now, I understand you've done a CD-ROM, which we'll talk about later. Yep. But tell me, James, when did you first become disillusioned with how the financial industry was operating? How did it come about?
Right, okay. Basically, with Eurocard Direct, I dealt with Lloyds Bank, and we imported about £30 million worth of cars in 2.5 years.
£30 million?
Yep. Yep, that's why we got in Who's Who of British Business Excellence, basically. You know, it's not who I know, it's basically just simply on company house figures. Yep. So, with Lloyds Bank, they were actually applying false exchange rate sheet. From a sheet that said must not be faxed or copied to customers, which a kind employee of Lloyd's secretly sent to me. They did me out of a fair bit of money. I ended up getting about half of it back after sort of 3.5 months. What I was appalled really to find out was that the papers, the Parliament, because I wrote to every MP, various people in the positions of trust, like the Consumers Association, the DTI, the Serious Fraud Squad, no one was actually interested. Yep. Now, I found that quite amazing. So then, I then examined what else Lloyds were up to. Now, from that, and basically because I'm good at spreadsheets, that was why with Eurocard Direct, I mean, at first I didn't know which cars were cheapest, so I had to compare and set up spreadsheets to compare, adjust for currency, add VAT on road tax, etc., compare it with the UK price to find out, and you do a whole range, and you suddenly find that the best Honda is a CR-V, because you can save $5,000 on $17,000. So that's the one you sell. So I did the same with Wise products. And of course then that led me on to doing the same with basically all the financial service products, particularly the normal products that affect us all, like mortgages and pensions. And basically, because this information, I think it's a major breakthrough in, because they go on in this world about conspiracy theories, but from what I see on the internet,
there's no theory about it.
There's no theory. Everything, I mean, there's a lot of facts, hard facts with photographic evidence, scientific evidence, witness evidence, important people's opinion, etc. And it is all totally ignored, and I just believe that this is, could be a major breakthrough, because in my opinion, that this is the first time that a conspiracy has actually been proved by the universal language of mathematics. And to me, this, it could be, if pushed into the public domain, that this could be the catalyst that, once forced out into the public domain, will enable the multitude of factual key points of all the other conspiracies to be shown to the masses and proved. And everything's linked to money and power.
Indeed. Actually, in another tape of mine, or set of tapes, Bombshell for All, I don't know whether you heard it,
yep,
I explain in considerable detail how most people have unwittingly allowed themselves to be become brainwashed by pets or robots and subject to a very subtle but powerful form of global tyranny. This is accomplished largely, as you quite rightly pointed out, through the control of money, a controlled education system, and a controlled media. Now, the definition of money is very difficult to define. In one of my presentations, The Beast from Jekyll Island, which is about the Federal Reserve scam.
Yep.
The author of that, he defines money as any commodity which is acceptable as a means of exchange for goods, services, and so forth. But they said that had to be defined even further into, he called it commodity money, by which, you know, you it is backed by gold or silver or some goods, receipt money, which is, again, could be backed by some goods that you've got in a bank or safe. And the other one was fiat money. Now, forgive my ignorance, James, I'm only a journalist, I'm not an accountant.
Yep.
Could you explain to the listener the difference in lucid terms between commodity money, receipt money, and fiat money?
Dave, you've thrown me, unfortunately, because I've got all the details of everything that I've got here, you know.
Yes, all right.
But I haven't got the precise details of that sort of thing, because my head's been a little bit clouded and sort of totally focused on this sort of thing.
Not to worry on that, because if the listener's interested, it is covered in considerable detail in The Beast from Jekyll
yep.
Island.
Yep.
Now, could you explain to the listener, in simple terms, how the layman has been continually ripped off by certain banks, if not all banks?
Yep. Well, basically, there is, it is quite, I mean, if this is proved by figures, I mean, basically what I investigated was pension annuities. Now, on pension annuities, if you have $100,000 pension annuity, $100,000 pension fund, and then you buy a pension annuity, then basically a pension annuity should be like a reverse mortgage. They work out a safe life period, etc., and they reduce your annuity amount, just like you would reduce a mortgage, plus interest that they get for you by investing the money in the stock exchange.
Yes.
Now, if you take it at a straight 8%, which is what they all show at the moment, although the stock exchange, even allowing for the repercussions of September the 11th,
yes,
has still gone up by about 10% a year over the last 20 years. Now, the other thing is there is no mention on any of these pension funds about dividends. What happens to the dividends? Obviously, they get them. But that's a sort of side issue, because basically, if they invested it at an 8%, which allows 1% for their fees, so
yes,
it really be 9%, which is what they all say it is.
Yes.
If you do your 100 grand calculations on that, then basically they will pay you a pittance of $5,924 per annum.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter which annuity provider you go to, they've all conspired together to offer much the same fraudulently calculated annual pension amount. Now, what they should be paying is an extra £4,113 per annum.
Yes.
Because basically by fraudulently paying you that smaller amount, £4,113 less, then this enables the pension annuity provider to add $343 per month to your pension pot of 100 grand that you've lost, that they've gained, that they've stolen, and over the period to your 83, 84 or whatever, then they will accumulate a secret, hidden, additional cumulative amount of £306,516.
That's real serious. It's
yep,
like a cartel.
It is. Yep. Now, the other thing is that even if you'd invested the money yourself in a high interest building society account, the highest I could find in sort of 20 minutes on the internet was 5.35% a few months ago, and possibly if you go on now, you could possibly find higher. Now, if you take it at that rate, the 100 grand, and reduce the fund to nil over a safe life expectancy, the pensioner would receive an annual pension of £8,090 a month.
Yes.
It would be £2,135 better off per annum,
mm-hmm,
and 45 grand better off over the period. Yeah?
Yes.
Now, the other thing is that if the pensioner simply, and this is the real one that shows it, if the pensioner invested the money himself at 5.35%, but this time, instead of paying himself out the true calculated annual pension of £8,090, but instead merely paid out the much lower pension of £5,924 per annum, which was of course fraudulently calculated by the annuity provider, then the average pensioner would have a closing balance out of 100 grand at the end of their life expectancy of £93,408. Now, they could leave that to the children. That is, to me, absolutely unbelievable.
That's serious money.
Now, basically, what it proves is that they are not including any reduction in your 100 grand in the annuity calculation. Yeah?
Yeah.
What they're doing is stealing it. As simple as that, in layman's terms, that is what they are doing. Now, obviously, I mean, I've done 15 different pension criteria for different ages, single male, single female, and joint. Yep, I've just calculated it as a level pension. If you do sort of pensions that go up 2% or whatever a year, you'll start off with even a much lower figure. Yep. Now, no one will do anything. The papers won't print it. I have been dealing with the media since July 02, and obviously at various times I've sent various things to various key financial people in each paper, and no one will print it. Now, that one works out at £1,000 billion. If you take the number of people in the UK who are affected by that, by this scam. Now, that is a hell of a lot of money.
It
I go on to the mortgages now?
Of course, yes, go on.
You see, that to me is blatant, yeah? It is blatant. Now, on mortgages, what I did was, by setting up spreadsheets, I didn't know what was cheaper and what wasn't. Yep. I set up spreadsheets. There is no detailed information available. The financial services industry has deliberately, historically, never produced precise detailed costings of their products. They don't think there's any need to, as of course they only ever exist on trust. Yep.
Yes.
So no one has ever before, I don't believe, set up detailed spreadsheets to produce precise costings of the financial industry fraudulent products. Until I started to do it in July 2002. Now, I've subsequently reported my findings to the government, the financial establishment, the media, over 100 times to each via letter and email. Instead of taking action against the banks, my communications, phones, emails, and websites were blocked from new contacts. I.e., if you had rung me or sent an email to me before, you would still get through. But new people would not get through. And when you right-click on an email and you find the route it's taken, when I chased up emails from my other sites and pushed and shoved and chased and rang people and up and said, what's happening? I got some emails through from my other sites, and when you right-click on them, they had gone through three separate computers at national.core.bbc.co.uk, and they'd gone through various email addresses. Initially, they didn't look like email addresses. It's a combination of about 60 letters and numbers, and then it's at national.core.bbc.co, you know, .uk. Okay?
Yes.
Now, because I'd already, you know, been trying to expose the mortgage fraud. Now, the mortgage fraud is quite unbelievable. Endowment mortgages were never sold in any other country in the entire world apart from the UK and, to a lesser extent, Southern Ireland.
It's strange you mention that. Forgive me interrupting, James. Quite a few of my people I've spoke to and my contacts, they've really been ripped off by that endowment mortgage.
Yeah, but they've been ripped off, but they're minimizing the problem. They are totally minimizing the problem. At the moment, they are fobbing off many, many people. They're fobbing off the weak, the old, the young, the uneducated, people who are not tenacious. By and large, most people will get turned down. When they do the compensation calculations, they just show you two figures. Basically, one figure is what your endowment is worth now, and the other one is what you would owe on a repayment mortgage now. There is no backup calculations to prove the figures, and invariably they will show that you have made either no loss or a much smaller loss than you have made. Now, basically, the endowment mortgages should never have been sold. They are not an honest product. They are a fraudulent deception because they were never cheaper. And therefore, they were never a viable alternative to a normal repayment mortgage that's guaranteed to pay your money back. Now, basically, on an endowment mortgage, you owe the whole amount for the whole period. Yep.
Yes.
And it's paid back at the very end. Now, there is nothing on the internet, been printed in the papers, anything, no matter what combination of words you use, there is nothing there that mentions this massive additional interest charge. Because basically, quite obviously, over the last 25, 30 years or so, the interest rates have been much higher. Yep.
Yes.
Now, the average interest rates on a mortgage that finished after its 25 years this year, the average interest rate was just over 11%.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, basically, if, and I do it on a 100 grand mortgage because that is meant to be around about what the average mortgage is according to all the statistics, but every other figure is pro rata. You know, so the losses on a 100 grand will be, 50 grand mortgage will be half of that, etc.
Yes.
60 grand will be 6/10. Yeah.
That's quite so, yes.
Now, at this 11% on a 100 grand mortgage, yeah,
mm-hmm.
you will actually pay a massive and definite additional interest charge of £80,962 over that 25-year period.
That's a hell of a lot of money.
Now, basically, the financial services industry as a whole is not taking this into account. Indeed, on the financial services website, the only reference to compensation claim calculations are as follows, and just listen out for the word interest. Precisely as it states on the website, it says firms normally calculate compensation by comparing the sum that would have been paid off the capital part of a comparative repayment mortgage and the sum achieved by the endowment policy. They then award the difference to the consumer as compensation to put the consumer back in the position they would have been in had they not received the wrong advice. As this calculation does not contain any additional interest, income tax will not be due. Now, basically, in an honest industry, what they would do would take into account all items paid out on one product against all items paid out on the other product. Now, if you've paid an extra $80,000 in interest, plus you've got some sort of endowment that's at 50 quid a month or whatever, or 100 quid a month, that's meant to magically repay 100 grand, yep, it's quite obvious that it's going to be the same price within, you know, a few quid, or actually more expensive than a repayment mortgage, yep.
Yes.
So basically, every single one of them was missold because they were never cheaper. No one in their right mind would have taken out such a dishonest product and anyone made them aware of the facts. Now, the papers have never printed these facts. As I said, there's nothing on the internet about this extra interest. So basically, in a real honest world, every single person would neither gain nor lose. They would take the interest into account, they'd be swapped to a normal repayment mortgage, and they wouldn't lose. But of course what's happening is that the bulk of the people have been fobbed off. The insurance companies, the endowment companies that have taken these out, have taken these out with, are paying compensation to people that really are tenacious.
Yes.
Now, basically, the banks and the building societies, they are the ones that are making this extra interest, and there is not one penny in compensation being paid out by these people, because this extra interest is a secret. No one knows about it. It is never mentioned in any report about endowments. In the papers, they're allowed. I mean, I know a fair few Freemasons. Now, how it works is they're allowed to write a story about one person in the paper and give the facts about that one person's claim against the Halifax or whatever.
Yes.
They are not allowed to globally go against a big bank, a big building society. Now, in an honest world, some solicitors should have come forward with a class action to get compensation, you know, full compensation for everyone, so that they did not lose at all because the product was dishonest to start with.
Absolutely.
Yep. Now, this initially started in around 1979 under Thatcher's government. It doesn't matter who's in power. Under Thatcher's government, because they started deregulation. And what happened was that allowed banks into the mortgage market. Now, in the early 80s, as you probably know, a lot of the big building societies became limited, what they call demutualized, they became limited companies.
That's right.
Now, what happened again at the same period was, I mean, prior to that, they'd been selling the odd endowment mortgage, but what happened was then, the banks had obviously got together, and what they did was, they were basically damn near forcing people to change to an endowment-funded, interest-only mortgage. And if you ask anyone you know, they will tell you that they didn't actually want one. The salesman spent 4 hours at their home talking them into it.
Oh, no, I've heard many stories of this.
The bank manager said it was much more benefit to you to have this. Of course, it paid your mortgage off and all this stuff. But basically, what they were doing was, they were, in effect, making an extra 80 grand profit in interest, whilst you, on your 20 grand, at 100 quid a month over 25 years, was meant to magically turn into 100 grand. And of course, if you look at it in a logical manner, is any bank going to lend you money at, on an average of 11%, which is over the period, when really, they would have been guaranteed, so they said, with endowments to make 15% or whatever, 18% on the endowment which you would have made? Why didn't they just invest their money at the 18% or whatever? Because it wasn't real. It was all a scam. Now, the thing is, there is 140 mortgage providers, banks, building societies and mutuals, yep. Some are limited company.
140, you say?
Yep, some are mutuals. Now, if you take the fact that there are at least 10 directors in each of them, because all these places have a lot of non-executive, you know, not directors that are not employed, that they get in for advice or for the contacts and things.
Yes.
Yep.
Consultants and so.
Okay. Now, if you say that on average there's 10, yep. Just as a safe figure.
Yes.
And that's 140. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the odds in an honest world of one of these people going to another director in the same company saying, let's start this scam, and then they go to another director at another bank or building society, what do you think of this scam? And then and suddenly it went through all 140, all 10 directors of 140, the odds against them in an honest world of not coming upon an honest person who said, wait a minute, I'm going to report this. The odds are basically 1 and then 1, 2, 3, 4. The odds are 1 to the power 14,000 Googles to 1. Yep.
14,000 Googles?
Yep. Now, basically, what that means is that a Google is bigger than the number of particles in the entire universe, just to give you an example of how big it is, yeah?
Yes.
Now, what I'm saying is that that proves to me and to anyone, it should prove to anyone beyond any doubt whatsoever, that this is not a random conspiracy.
Fraud. It was planned.
Yep. It is planned, because obviously I haven't even, in those calculations for that, I haven't even taken into account all the regulators, like the Banking Code Standards Board, the Financial Service Authority, the Mortgage Code Compliance Board, as it was, all the other, the Consumers Association, the DTI, the Serious Fraud Squad, etc., etc., etc. Yep. They are not even included in the calculation. So basically, you know, and also, I mean, even with that, we also have got, that we got our hands on through my contacts with an organization called SAFE, which is the Struggle Against Financial Exploitation, a secret video of the Masonic Prayer for Money, filmed at the Lord Mayor's Mansion House Dinner for Bankers. Now, this was done about 8 years ago or whatever, 10 years ago, and basically the Chancellor was there.
So, he must have been in on it as well.
Well, I mean, quite obviously, if I have sent letters to every single MP. Initially, I sent them with discs, not CD-ROMs, but with actually floppy discs, yeah?
Yes.
As recently as the last 3 months, I have sent a CD-ROM to every member of the House of Lords. I have sent it to every chief constable in the UK.
Yes.
I have sent it to the editor of every national newspaper and all local newspapers in the Northwest. Yep.
Yes.
I have had no replies from the chief constables. I have had about 7 or 8 replies from the House of Lords. Well, if you call them replies, they're actually acknowledgements.
They're a four-line pop-off.
They're not even that. They're a postcard with an acknowledgement saying that your information was received and has been noted.
That's it, yeah.
Yep. I have received nothing, no correspondence whatsoever from any newspaper editor at all. None.
Well, this does not surprise me, and forgive me stopping you there for a moment. This is one reason, James, why I am a journalist by profession.
Yep.
Before I went into writing and journalism, I used to earn my living as a professional comedy magician, which stood me in good stead for my later vocation as an investigative journalist.
Yep.
I used to publish myself, but I found it an expensive pastime. And like your good self, I used to write a column for a newspaper. And when I came across any real hot news, what I called important, they wouldn't touch it.
Yep.
So over the last 9 years, over 9 years now, I've concentrated my humble efforts in exposing social and international evils on this planet and put them into audio tape lectures, which I advertise in the alternative press, namely Nexus, The Truth Campaign, The Truth Seeker, and on the internet, because it is an absolute and utter waste of time on the mainstream media. As I explained in one of my other presentations, the last one, Global Crisis, any person who relies on all that information from the mainstream media or the TV or moronic rags that pass themselves off as newspapers are just as deluded as the earth is flat. If you want to know what's really happening in the world, you have to rely on newsletters, the alternative press, people like yourself. But the circulation is minuscule by comparison.
Yeah.
By comparison to any daily newspaper.
Carry on.
Yeah. And but the powers that be aren't having everything quite their own way. But there are certain websites on the internet which and people are beginning to wake up. To be quite honest, lots of my listeners, they said, what's the best way to get this information out? I've wrote to my MP and this, that and the other, and a lot of people like you, and you can spend a lot of money in postage and time.
Yeah, but I have done it deliberately to the... I mean, I previously have sent it to every Member of Parliament twice, yeah?
Yes.
I mean, I actually got a compliment slip back from Tony Blair's office.
Yeah.
And on it, someone had written, Mr. Blair has said that you are the idiot of the year. Yeah.
That was from the Prime Minister.
That was from the Prime Minister's office, yeah. Now, basically, what we've got here is, I mean, this, to me, it could be the catalyst.
This got to be the fraud of the century.
Yep.
Or the fraud of the millennium.
Yeah, well, the thing is, since 1979, the financial journalists, they've been writing about this, that, and the other, and they just let them sell these endowment mortgages. And what happens with commission, in case anyone doesn't know, because as I say, I'm an insider in the financial services. I am a whistleblower.
Commissions, you were saying?
Yeah, basically, on a normal mortgage, again, say 100,000, an average mortgage, you will actually get £300 commission.
Yeah.
From the bank or the building society, which on a 100 grand mortgage is not an awful lot to
It's not.
And this is how they get financial advisors to sell all these other products, the insurance, all the other things that they get you worried about? What if you died? What if your wife died? Who would provide for your children? What if you died? What about your house? What if you lost your job? And all these other products, yeah? And also, the commission on an endowment was around £1,500, £1,800 per sale.
Yeah.
Now, quite obviously, a lot of people will bend the rules, will tell lies, basically, will just sell things that they know is not to the benefit of the customer to get that, because that is quite a massive commission. You get $1,800 from the endowment seller. You're getting $300 from the mortgage provider, because it is a joint product. It's an endowment funded interest only mortgage. So you're getting £2,100 commission instead of £300, and this is how they corrupt everyone. And this is how they do it. The people sell it, they have no qualms, the papers don't print it, the Financial Services Authority won't do anything about it. Nothing. The Consumers Association, nothing.
Well, since you mentioned that, James, in another one of my tapes, the climate change and the insurance racket goes into not so much into what you've been discussing, but I have spoke to many people, and like you've just mentioned, they've agreed to things which the layman, let's face it, the average person, they don't understand all the intricacies of finance. They trust people. You trust your doctor, you trust your solicitor, you trust your bank manager. It's all wrong, but unfortunately we don't live in a perfect world, and thank goodness we've got people like yourself.
No, but the thing is, with these people, I mean, they only exist on trust.
Yeah.
Yep. They don't. They're not like Argus or Comet or whatever, where you get a box with a telly in it for your money.
Yeah.
They sell you. They don't. You don't actually get anything. They sell you advice.
They're selling you a promise, literally.
They are selling you an advice. Now, as they only exist on trust, at the very least you should be able to expect from these people is that you are dealt with honestly.
Absolutely.
Now, whilst to me, one of the worst crimes in the world is people who only exist on trust, and this isn't just like someone breaking into your house because they haven't got a job and two kids to feed and stealing your telly and selling it down the pub. You know, just a one-off thing, a chance thing. This is a controlled and organized and slow, calculated, management-driven fraud.
By stealth.
By stealth, but it's a fraud. It's not just a rip-off or a scam, these ones. I mean, I've got various other rip-offs and scams, but these are actual frauds, because no one should have ever been had their house put at risk by such a ridiculously fraudulent product, and now that it's failed, which it was bound to do, they won't pay you the money back. The compensation is just blatantly fraudulent. They are missing off the interest. And to me, these people that exist on trust, you know, because there's a lot of people in this world, normal people by and large, are damn decent people.
Absolutely.
They're friendly.
I can agree more.
There's the salt of the earth, but these professionals, the grey suits, the white shirts, that keep selling you crap and lies. I mean, it's despicable. There is no other word for it. I mean, really, I've done spreadsheets so that people can actually check all the figures, because they can input a loan amount, an interest rate, and a monthly repayment, and it will ripple down month by month through an entire 25 years, and they can compare and compare and compare, you know, because none of these people, anyone that exists on trust, is basically not trustworthy.
Not at all. Actually, what we've been discussing on trust, I don't know whether you've heard any of my other tapes, James, but exposing things in one of my specialities, my main specialities, and some of my presentations, the cancer racket, the pharmaceutical racket,
yeah.
All these people, they exist on trust. But the biggest problem is most people, as long as they've allowed themselves to become brainwashed by the establishment.
That's right, because if it's not in the papers, if it's not on BBC News, it didn't happen. But of course it did happen. I mean, there's all sorts of things, not just this. I mean, to me, this is the catalyst that could bring it all out. But, I mean, there's 9/11, there is all sorts of stuff. You know, there's all sorts of stuff.
Look, with a controlled media, which we have, because contrary to popular belief, we do not have a free press, we don't have a fair judiciary, and we don't have a democracy. And this is what I was trying to emphasize when I say anybody relies on their information from the mainstream media, they're in cloud cuckoo.
Yeah, well, the problem with our version of democracy is that what it is, it's democracy with hidden chains. I mean, basically, what happens is all the Masonic brothers, you know, they think they're the elite, so they're all involved in these positions of trust and so on and so forth, and anyone that isn't is too frightened to open their mouth.
Yes.
Or that they've got a big mortgage, a wife, two kids, they can't leave the 40 grand a year job because they won't get another one.
They've sold the soul to mammon.
They've sold the soul. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Simple as that. It's a horrendous situation, but because of these hidden chains, it is not democracy, and of course, we are so highly taxed, because there is no need to have normal tax, there is no need to have national insurance as well, there is no need to have VAT as well, there is no need to have special tax on petrol, cigarettes, etc. But basically, what's happened is, because of page 187 of the Masonic rule book, they're not to testify or whatever against any other brother Mason, so there are millions of little scams going off below these bank things, and basically councils, they'll buy wallpaper at 600 quid a roll, they'll pay 60 grand for a bus shelter. So these people are making massive amounts of taxpayers money out of all these things. And basically what has happened is that this has just gone higher and higher, and we are now at the highest level with it, with the 140 boards of directors on the banks and building societies who have just conspired together, because no one will print anything, no one will do anything, and this is how they're doing it. I mean, to steal this amount of money from people in a lifetime, it's the difference between someone's wife working or not working, it's the difference between misery and happiness, it's the difference between having two kids or no kids, it's actually the difference between a happy marriage and divorce. It's even the difference in old age between a long and fruitful retirement or a meager existence where people die even earlier, so obviously they make even more money because they've got your pension fund.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so horrendous. Now, I believe it can be stopped, and that is why I am now trying to work with the Make Poverty History Coalition. Now, I placed a full-page advert in the Blackpool Gazette, which was basically a mortgage matrix,
yes.
Which showed on the left-hand side of the page the major mortgage providers in standard variable rate competitiveness, yeah? Because you don't see that. You've never seen a list like that anywhere. On the right-hand side, I picked the cheapest mortgage from every mortgage provider.
Yes.
And I've compared they put the total in for interest only, repayment, and so on, yep. Now, that list then shows you which is the cheapest overall mortgage provider, because there's some mortgage providers will give you a term discount, will give you a term tracker, and they're very cheap, but on the papers, This is a scam, this one. This is not a fraud. But the latest scam is all these short-term discounts. So basically, they go back to the standard variable rate after the period. Yeah?
Yes.
So you end up paying this massive extra money. And the other side is that the best mortgages, there are mortgages available, as I say, with term discounts, term trackers, an overall APR that's very low, 5.6% or whatever, as compared to the norm of sort of 6.9, and that 1 and a bit% makes one hell of a difference.
It is, if you're 100 grand mortgage.
But the newspapers still don't print information about these term trackers and the full term discounts. They will give you the best mortgage over a period of 2 years or 5 years, which is totally
ridiculous.
Distorts the figures. You can go in and get mortgage magazines and the Smiths or whatever. You think they'll do it. 5 years. Totally and utterly distorted picture of what your mortgage is going to cost you.
Now, you were saying about this advert you got in the Gazette, James.
Yeah, well, I put this full-page advert in, as I said, with the two columns with the standard variable rates on the left and the list of the best mortgages from each mortgage provider on the right. Now, basically, the difference between, still, between an interest-only mortgage and the cheapest repayment mortgage is over £100,000. So basically, the cheapest repayment mortgage is cheaper than the, what they call the supposed norm, which the big boys use, of 6.75% interest-only mortgage. So, i.e., you would pay your 100 grand off and still have 7 grand left. Whereas on the other one, you pay that extra interest and you still owe your 100 grand. Now, what I put at the bottom of the advert was contact details for, you know, information pack, you know. Now, basically, what happened was, at that time, that was when my phones and emails and communications were periodically blocked at times when I was making the effort, yeah?
Yes.
Now, what happened was, I didn't get one call. I didn't get one single call, and that was a full page in the Blackpool.
You never got one call from that advert?
Not one call. Not one call.
I was just going to ask you what response you had.
Yeah. Now, basically, if that advert was put in, and this is what I'm trying to get the Make Poverty History Coalition to do, because you can get a charity full-page advert in the Daily Mirror for half the price and no VAT of what anyone else would pay. So instead of paying 25 grand plus VAT,
yes,
you get it for 12 and a half.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, obviously every newspaper once a month would be great, but I believe that the papers the normal people read, like the Mirror, the Sun, and the Mail, if a full-page advert was in, telling people to have to eliminate themselves from, and again, the wording was approved, so I had to tone down things, you know.
Yes.
You can't say stealing, you have to say massive overcharging by stealth.
Yeah.
So I had to eliminate themselves from this, you know. Now, if that was done in those papers, if there was secure communications to an 0845 number, an email, a website, etc., then, and you sent the disc out, and you asked people to copy it to 100 of the friends, because that could save 100 of the friends, just as it sounds, about £18 million
yes,
over the lifetime, yeah. Now, if that was in the first month, the papers may ignore it, but once it was in 2 months, 3 months, the papers could not ignore it, especially if people were also instructed to write, because what the beauty of this is not something that had affected other people with poisonous gases in the Gulf War or the 9/11 or whatever. This is personal. This is affecting everyone. This is affecting you. It's affecting your wife. It's affecting your mother and father. You know, they're retired. It's affecting your it'll affect your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your workmates. It is personal, and that's the beauty of this. And what I wanted was everyone in pubs and clubs talking about cheap mortgages just like they were doing with cars. Yep, because when we set up the cars, we were one of the first five companies after Simon Epson at Broadspeed to do it.
Yes.
Now, I wanted to be the first one with Remortgage Now to set it up with mortgages. Yep. But when I found out what was going on, I wrote to all the banks and building societies. I wrote to every MP to report all this. Basically, I got one anonymous reply telephone call from a building society. Basically, it was a mutual, and the guy basically said, "You're exactly right, but we have to follow the big boys." Yep.
So you...
I got a letter from another building society, basically telling me that they don't want any communications like this ever again. Yep. And that was all the communications I got in writing. At the same time, I was putting half-page adverts, quarter-page adverts in national magazines, yeah?
Yes.
Because daily newspapers don't work, as far as I was concerned with the cars, yeah? From my experience with the cars, I got much greater response from monthly magazines.
Yeah.
They hang about a lot longer, people keep them.
This is one reason, forgive me interrupting,
yep.
This is one reason I advertise in Nexus.
Yep, well, basically... What happened was, I'd sold a few mortgages before I put adverts in, just to people I knew, etc. You know, when I put the national adverts in, I didn't get a single call, I didn't get a single email inquiry. My 0845 number, when the people rang it, who hadn't rang it before, it was diverted to a number unobtainable. Now, basically, if it had come through, because the analysis you get with an 0845 number shows the number of calls received, the number of calls missed, the number of calls who rang and your phone was engaged. What it doesn't show is obviously calls that were diverted to another number.
Yes.
That is unobtainable. So people just give up. Yep. The emails with the... going through the BBC core, as I said, I've already covered that, when I chased it up, you know, with other emails from my other sites, they were going through email addresses, not just servers of the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you right-click on an email, what it should show is, if I was sending you an email, it should show my server sent it, and your server received it. Simple as that. Yep. What mine was showing was this massive long list, and it should be received within a minute. Yep.
Yes.
What happens with these was that I pushed through from my other sites, and basically, they were 2 days late, 3 days late, 4 hours late, and they were stuck. They were going from one email address in the BBC, Central Core BBC. They were going from one to another. And there was obviously a time delay. Now, whether that was some sort of filter between whatever departments that just said, oh, we can't, you know, but obviously, quite obviously, I know the number of inquiries I should have got from a monthly advert, yeah?
Yes.
And I did not get any, because they knew that I wanted to, that I had told them about, you know, this, because it was so bad that I wrote to them.
Yeah.
Yep.
In other words, they knew you'd got the situation weighed up.
So basically, what, in an honest world, I would have been the best known man in Britain now. In a dishonest world, they blocked my communications.
Yes.
But if you could get, and you can get, damn near secure communications, and if those adverts were in the mainstream papers, in the first half of the paper, you know.
Yeah. Usually page 3 is one of them.
Page 3, page 5, page 7, where they cannot be missed, then this, to me, would get this out. Now, I believe that this is the only way to get it out. I don't believe the papers will ever print it. Otherwise, I don't believe government departments will take any action.
No, not at all.
I mean, the biggest problem is like the Consumers Association, a lot of their funding comes from the government.
Yeah, they all sleep in the same bed.
So basically, they can't do anything.
No.
Because they sell the soul.
I'm afraid you're right, James.
You know, but to me, I got the wording for my advert was approved, yeah? It was approved by the Blackpool Gazette, it was approved by the Lancashire Evening Post, and it was approved... approved by the Manchester Evening News. Now, because I did not, and I was putting one in one week, one the next, one the week after. Now, because I got no response, my communications were blocked, I didn't put it in the other two, but basically, the wording of that advert has been approved. Yep. So, providing you don't mention thieving and bent bastards, or, excuse the language, or whatever, that advert could go in again. Yep. Now, I will pay for one advert, and I'm hoping that Make Property History Coalition will pay for others. But again, a lot of these charities, a lot of them are partly funded by the government. A lot of them are infiltrated, you know, by Masons on the board and all this sort of thing. And even with them, it is proven very, very hard work.
Very difficult, you sound to work extremely hard.
Yeah, but I have not given up, because, I mean, I've had my life threatened 5 times on the telephone.
Have you really?
With anonymous calls, yeah. Over the, you know, the last, since July 02, yeah?
Yes.
Now, if I think about things like that, you wouldn't do anything.
You wouldn't do anything, yeah.
Now, I am 54, 55, whatever, although I feel and look younger, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had a cracking life. I just feel as though this is so big. I mean, I'm not interested in Lloyd Bank anymore on the false exchange rate thing.
No.
I just... You know, the normal people who, to me, there's some amazing normal people. They're so pleasant, they do you favours.
They're just being ripped off.
And they're just been having their lives ruined. They're having to work. And as you know now, there's all the other rip-offs with the 25 quid charges for getting over your limit, 25 quid charge for a late payment on a credit card. I mean, it's damn near like the Nazi party. This is the way it's going with this lot.
You can get a better deal with the mafia or the triads.
Yeah, well, at least you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
But the problem with this lot is that, you know, because it's not in the papers, and people have fear, and fear is the, you know, I mean, again, if you show no fear, you know, because if they're going to do something to me, they'll do it, you know. So being frightened isn't a problem.
No.
Because basically, even with phone calls, I sort of wrote them down at the time, put a couple of them on the website, or I think they're all on the various websites that I've got, but I actually blanked them out of my mind, because if you worry about things like that,
you never step out.
I wouldn't be speaking to you now.
No.
I wouldn't do anything. The only precaution I have taken is that I have security, movement-activated security cameras around the house.
Yes.
And they obviously record when there's movement on it, and they record at a remote site. So that basically if something does happen to me, I mean, I make a point of not going out anywhere, what's the word, unusual. Yep.
Yeah.
I have sent notes to the papers basically saying that I will not commit suicide, I don't drink and drive, I don't go for lone speeding runs during the middle of the night, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and I go to a local club where I know loads of people, i.e. if someone weird came in, everyone would notice them, not just me.
Yeah.
And they've actually installed 4 cameras as well.
Mm.
So, you know.
Now, if we may, I'd like to talk about, you've done this CD-ROM.
Yeah.
I wonder if you care to expand on that, James, and you can perhaps inform the listener where they can obtain it.
Yep.
The purpose of this tape is not everybody has got a computer.
Yep.
I like to put the information on tapes or CDs, so if you'd just like to talk around your CD-ROM.
Yep, okay. What I did was, because at one bit, with one of my sites, I was getting 20,000 hits a week, yeah?
20,000 hits a week?
Yep. Now, basically, what happened was that it went down from that to about 150 a month, yeah?
Yeah.
Now,
that's a big drop.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Something stank on that.
Yeah. Now, basically because I believe that people were not getting, because the information is all on the website, even the history of who I've written to, the replies, you know, because you get the fob-off replies, you know, it's nothing to do with this department, and so on and so forth, and you know, we cannot deal with that, and your comments have been noted, and whatever,
yes.
You know, we will pass it to whatever, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, usual fob-off, sir.
Nothing happened. So you can see the history of where it's been pushed aside. You can see how to save the money. There's spreadsheet templates on it, so you can even check all the figures just by putting in the loan amount or a pension amount, the monthly amount and the interest rate. It will ripple down the whole spreadsheet and give the same figures as I've got on my spreadsheets that I've already done that are on the site. You know, so basically, it shows people how to eliminate themselves from these frauds. Now, obviously, if I get no response from adverts in the paper, an advert in the paper, the full-page advert, you know, and my website's hits have been dramatically and ridiculously reduced, to say the least,
yes.
Then, quite obviously, this information is being blocked. So what I've been trying to do is send out the same information plus extra information on a CD-ROM to people that matter. Yeah?
Yes.
I'm also intending to send it to people, because I believe that people would send this on to their friends and so on, and it may even be happening now, you know.
Yes, I certainly hope so.
Because I've basically shown them that if they do 100 copies, it'll cost them about 18 quid, take them a night to do it, and send it, you know, give it to the friends, relatives, neighbours and workmates and
yes.
So on, and they'll be the friend for life apart from exposing frauds, you know. So basically, if this site was not blocked, if my phones were not blocked, in an honest world, this would be out. I'm going, like, spreading like wildfire throughout the country at this moment in time.
And people will be much better off.
Yeah. It would be. It would be. It would make one hell of a difference. And of course, the charities would be better off. The world poverty. And again, that's down to the banks. You know, they won't cancel the debts. And if they do cancel the debts, they tie it in that they must privatise the services. See, if you read some of the stuff on the Make Poverty History website, you'll see these people have been charged for water. They've been charged half a month's salary for water. It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal, some of the things that are happening.
You're telling the wrong man, James.
Yeah. So basically, if anyone wanted to ring me on 0845-456-3871 or 01253-398-300 or 01253-399-630 or email me at info@financialoutrage.org.uk or the website, which is www.financialoutrage.org.uk, then I will send them a disc with pleasure. I mean, all I ask is that they do 100 copies to the, I can't force them to, but I would imagine that once they'd seen it and saved, you know, realised what was happening with the money, then again, this is personal. You know, it's affected everyone. And I believe that they would send it out. So I will send the disc to anyone that wants it for free. I mean, it doesn't cost me an awful lot for the discs, about 10p for a disc and 20p, 21p second class books, this sort of thing, you know. So it doesn't cost me much to do it. And I will send them it because I just believe that this is so bad.
You feel so strongly.
It is so bent that I believe, and I do believe that this, I honestly believe that this is the catalyst for all the conspiracies to come out, because if this one came out, and this is the universal language of mass now, basically, if there was a 10-year-old kid in China now doing the same input and the same figures, if there was a 70-year-old man in Russia inputting the same figures, if there was someone in the Amazon inputting the same figures, they would get the same answers. And that is a lot simpler than, you know, photographs or, you know, other exposure things, yeah?
Yes, it's
so utterly black and white. I mean, it is an outrage. I mean, it's a disgrace. I mean, to me, these people, in actual fact, are traitors to the British people. And I personally believe they should bring back Hung, Drawn and Quartered.
Indeed.
And ban all secret societies. You know.
Well, Hitler tried to do that, you know.
I know he did. Right. And one very, very important point is that two British banks have already been caught stealing millions of pounds of the customers' money by illegal means, one on the 27th of July, 04, and the other on the 7th of December, 04. They both had false rates and false charges illegally embedded in their computer systems. Now, this happened in Ireland. Now, Southern Ireland is part of Great Britain, although not part of the UK. However, all the UK papers have got offices in Dublin. The bulk of the UK papers have got offices in Dublin, and they have a full circulation. It's not just like Spain where they sell the odd paper. It is full circulation in Southern Ireland. Yep. So, basically, whilst there was lots of articles in the Irish media, I mean, if you go on the internet, under Irish Bank Scandal, or which was the National Bank of Ireland, or AIB, Foreign Exchange Scandal, you'll get 3,000-4,000 items, but the thing you will notice is that there is not one report on the UK media. Not one word was written in any UK newspaper, not one word was mentioned on the BBC, ITV, Channel 4, 5, BBC 2, Sky, anywhere about it in the UK. Yet, there is a Sky report, which I've got on that CD-ROM. There's a 20-minute Sky report on Sky Ireland, which is a hell of a long report for a news report on the National Bank of Ireland scam, and that was a 20-minute report.
20 minutes, that's a long report.
It is, and it was pointed out to me, someone I know saw it in Portugal. Another friend of mine has a lodger, funnily enough, who works for Sky, so we got a copy of the report.
Yes.
And basically that report was shown in every country that Sky supplies, apart from one. Do you know which one that was?
Yeah,
it wasn't shown in the UK. Also on RTE.ie, RTE Ireland, which is the Irish television and radio channel, there are loads of reports, radio and television reports, about both the scandals, which are obviously, that is not received in the UK, but basically, not one report in the UK media, not one report on TV. Why not, we think, but really, why not, is because there's so many other bank frauds, rip-offs, scams, still ongoing. That's why not.
No, all the big boys have got noses in the money shop.
Yeah, I mean, this is like us living in North Korea somewhere and not knowing what's happening 20 miles over the border. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is Great Britain. We're meant to have, supposedly, freedom of speech.
Free press.
Free press. And I'd have thought that something happening 20 miles off the nearest point on the coastline, in actual fact, attached to Northern Ireland.
Yes.
You know, was relevant news. Funnily enough, the only report about Irish banks in the entire UK media was done in the Scotsman, and it was actually about the chief executive of one of the Irish banks having to resign because he got porn. He was caught with porn on his computer. Internet porn. So that just shows that they can write about one person, but they cannot write about a whole big institution.
A whole big, well, cartel institution, call it
yeah,
what you will.
But that, whatever way you look at it, that is a key point. That, and the fact that the frauds that I've highlighted are all proven by mathematical calculation, the international language. This really needs to get out.
Yep. Well, we'll do our best.
And I'd like to remind my listeners that there is no copyright on this whatsoever. You're quite free to copy and distribute as you feel fit. Peace to all who hear these words.